Will the House come to order? Will the members please indicate their presence by voting?
Mr. Speaker, the voting...
Would the clerk please call the roll for quorum?
Adams.
Here.
Barnes. Boucher. Boyer.
Here.
Brown. Cato.
Here.
Collins.
Here.
Cotton.
Yes.
Davidson.
Here.
Davis. Donnelly.
Here.
Ellis.
Here.
Frank. Furness.
Here.
Gall. Grunberg.
Here.
Hanley is excused. Herman.
Here.
Hoffman.
Present.
Hudson.
Here.
Kopanen.
Present.
Larson is excused. Martin.
Yes.
Menard and Miller are excused. Navarre.
Here.
Pierce.
Here.
Pettijohn.
Here.
Phillips.
Present.
Porchot. Rieger.
Here.
Schultz. Sund.
Here.
Swackhammer.
Here.
Taylor.
Here.
Ulmer.
Here.
Zawacki.
Here.
Mr. Speaker.
Here.
Would the clerk please tally the roll call?
26 members present.
Okay, we have a quorum present to conduct business. We have other members coming in. We have Representative Gall, Representative Brown, Representative Frank. Quorum present, Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, the following members are excused from, have previously been excused from the call. The following members have previously been excused from the call of the House today. Representatives Miller, Hanley, Menard, Larson, Wallace, and Springer. At this point, I would like to move and ask unanimous consent that Representative Barnes be excused from the call of the House. She's ill today.
Are there any objections? Hearing no objections, Representative Barnes is also excused from the call of the House. In case the members haven't gathered the fact that the voting machine will not be working and it will be roll call throughout this session. Our chaplain today is Pastor Johnny Jackson of the First Baptist Church. Will the members please rise for the invocation?
Our prayer today is based on the scripture found in Matthew 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Would you pray with me, please? Our Father, we thank you this morning for the comfort and the promise in this word from your Son, Jesus. The promise and comfort of a God who really cares, a God who personally cares for each one of us. And the promise and comfort of a relationship with you that will encourage us and strengthen us and refresh us in times of great challenge and responsibility. Lord, as these men and women of this house face not only the tremendous burdens of public leadership, but also the pressures and responsibilities of their private lives, may they feel your personal love and care toward them and their families. In their times of labor, Lord, refresh them. In their times of loneliness, Lord, refresh them. In their times of stress, doubt, personal need, Lord, refresh them. We in Alaska need our leaders at their best, Father, and we want these public servants to find fulfillment and satisfaction and accomplishment in the performance of their task. Father, grant that it will be so for Alaska's good and for the happiness of these your servants, and most of all for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
See, Representative Davidson, would you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Representative Martin.
Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent to prayer be spread on the journal.
Are there any objections as to having the prayer spread upon the journal? Hearing no objections, so ordered. Would the clerk at this time please certify the journal for the 38th and the 39th legislative day?
As chief clerk, I certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 38th and the 39th legislative days.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the House journals for the 38th and 39th legislative days as certified be adopted, be approved.
Are there any objections as to the correctness of the journals? Hearing no objections, the journals stand approved. Do we have any guests for introduction today? Representative Sund.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In Gallery B, we have a large contingent from the business and professional women with us today. I'd like to introduce some from District 1, Representative Taylor in my district. If they just stand and we can kind of hold our applause. But Diane Zur, Arlene Pence, Nancy Berg, Marion Estelle, Sarah Edgington, Frances Hubbard, Renee Estelle, and Sue Rapley. Thank you.
Representative Swackhammer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Normally, we introduce constituents, but today it's my pleasure to introduce a person that I've known a few years. As a matter of fact, we were in the eighth grade together in Kodiak, and she's down here with the Alaska Federation of Business and Professional Women, and Melanie Mallott.
Representative Palmer.
I would like to introduce to the body Lucille Santos, who is the local president of the Business and Professional Women and a very good friend and a woman who has been very concerned about issues pertaining not only to Juneau women but Alaska women. Lucille Santos.
Any further guests for introduction? Representative Davis.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I note in Gallery B, a former teacher of mine, and I'm real pleased to introduce to the body Joan Klutz.
Any further guests for introduction? Representative Frank.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And in Gallery B, we also have down for Fairbanks with the Business and Professional Women's, I think she's a statewide president this year, Madeline McKinney.
Any further introductions? In Gallery B, I have several people from my district, from the BPW. I have here Ruth McKenzie and her daughter, also Darla Adams, Candy Rutledge, and Marcia Johnson. Would you please help me welcome them here to Juneau? Messages from the governor.
I have none, Mr. Speaker.
Messages from the Senate.
The Senate has approved the following citations and they are being enrolled. Honoring Richard Smith, honoring Mount Edgecombe Braves basketball team, Southeast champions, honoring Christy Kleinert, and honoring Elaine Atwood. And the Senate has also approved the following citations and they are transmitted for consideration. In memoriam Jimmy Huntington, and honoring Pam Flowers.
Those citations for our consideration will be referred to the Rules Committee for calendaring.
The Senate has passed the following and they are transmitted for consideration. Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 6 by Coghill, relating to designation by the governor of Suntrana Mine as a historic site.
One standing committee, resources.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill Number 21, Finance, by the Finance Committee, an act relating to construction contractors.
Labor and Commerce and the Judiciary Committee.
Senate Bill Number 25, amended by Bennett. An act providing a special assessment for private airports open for public use and providing for an effective date.
Community and Regional Affairs and Transportation.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill 115, Finance, by the Finance Committee. An act making supplemental appropriations to the Department of Education for pupil transportation, tuition students, multi-handicapped students, the Kotzebue Technical Center, and districts losing more than 10% of their foundation funding in a single year and providing for an effective date.
Hess and the Finance Committee.
I have no further messages from the Senate, Mr. Speaker.
Do we have any other communications that should come before this body?
From the Alaska Public Utilities Commission, we've received their 17th annual report to the legislature. And from the Department of Environmental Conservation, we've received the Oil and Hazardous Subsistence Release Response Fund as required by AS 46860. From the Alaska Power Authority, we received their annual audit for fiscal year 1986, and these reports are on file in the Speaker's office. I have no further communications, Mr. Speaker.
Under the daily order of business, this brings us down to reports of standing committees.
The Judiciary Committee has considered the following appointment and recommends confirmation. Attorney General of the State of Alaska, Grace Berg Scheibel. The report was signed by Sun Chairman Navarre, Omer, Barnes, Cotton, Taylor, and Grunberg. The Labor and Commerce Committee has considered the following appointment and recommends confirmation. Excuse me. Commissioner of Department of Commerce and Economic Development, John Anthony Smith. The report was signed by Donley Chairman, Ellis Davidson, Furness Boucher, and Kopanen. The Hess Committee has considered House Resolution 2, relating to the University of Alaska Community College System, recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Resolution 2 Hess with the same title, recommends it do pass and attaches a fiscal note. The report was signed by the co-chairs, Kopanen and Ellis. Signing do pass, Ellis, Hudson, Grunberg, and Donnelly. Having no recommendation, Phillips, Hanley, and Kopanen. House Resolution Number 2 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Finance Committee has considered House Bill 6, allowing tax credits for contributions to certain education institutions and restricting state tax deductions under 26 U.S.C. 170. Recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 6 Finance with a new title. Recommends it do pass. Report was signed by Adams Chairman. Signing do pass, Adams, Swackhammer, Davis, Frank, Brown, and Boyer. Having no recommendation, Gall, Porchot, Rieger, and Wallace. House Bill 6 has no further referral. The Hess Committee has considered House Bill 7, Volunteer Guardians Ad Litem in the Office of Public Advocacy, recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 7 Hess with a new title, and recommends it do pass and attaches a fiscal note. Report was signed by the co-chairs, Ellis and Kopanen. Signing do pass, Phillips, Ellis, Kopanen, Hudson, Grunberg, and Donnelly. House Bill 7 has a further referral to the Judiciary Committee. The Labor and Commerce Committee has considered House Bill 88, Private Causes of Action by Businesses under the Alaska Unfair Trade Practices and Consumer Protection Act, and recommends it do pass. Report was signed by Donnelly, Chairman. Signing do pass, Donnelly, Davidson, Boucher, Kopanen, and Ellis. Furness has no recommendation. House Bill 88 has a further referral to the Judiciary Committee. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of special committees.
There are none, Mr. Speaker.
This brings us down to introduction of citations and resolutions.
Citation honoring Peter Kalifornsky by Representatives Navarre and Swackhammer. Citation honoring Keith and Lillian Lowers by Representative Hanley. Citation in memoriam Victor Lynn Fitzgerald by Representatives Hudson and Ulmer and Senator Duncan. I have no further citations for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Rules for calendaring.
I have no resolutions for introduction.
Introduction, first reading, and reference of House bills.
House Bill 149 by Herman, an act relating to certain oil terminal operators and providing for an effective date.
Two standing committees, Resources and the Finance Committee.
House Bill 150 by Taylor, an act relating to certain contributions from permanent fund dividends and providing for an effective date.
State Affairs and Finance.
House Bill 151 with a governor's transmittal letter and 3-0 fiscal notes with analyses. By the Rules Committee by request of the governor. An act relating to the longevity bonus program and providing for an effective date.
State Affairs and Finance.
House Bill 152 by Pettijohn. An act appropriating $250 million from the Budget Reserve Fund to the General Fund and providing for an effective date.
Finance Committee.
House Bill 153 by Grusendorf, Gall, Ulmer, Adams, Hoffman, Davidson. An act relating to preservation of cultural and historic property and providing for an effective date.
State Affairs and the Judiciary Committee.
House Bill 154 with a governor's letter and 7 fiscal notes. By the Rules Committee by request of the governor. An act relating to the taxation of income derived by individuals relating to amended tax returns filed by taxpayers and providing for an effective date.
State Affairs and Finance.
I have no further bills for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, may we please have a brief at ease?
The House, please stand at ease. Before they had ease, we were about to enter into the daily calendar. Would the clerk at this time please read the first item on today's calendar?
House Bill Number 4 by Davis, Ulmer, Kopanen, Ellis, Brown, Donnelly, and Davidson. An act relating to extending the termination date of the Alaska Women's Commission and providing for an effective date. The State Affairs Committee has considered the bill, recommends it do pass, and attaches a fiscal note. The report was signed by Ulmer, Chairman. Signing do pass, Ulmer, Boucher, Donnelly, and Davidson. Hoffman signed do pass. Note to Finance, give consideration to recommendation of Legislative Budget and Audit Committee. And Menard and signed no recommendation, and Martin signed no recommendation, needs amendments. The Finance Committee has considered House Bill 4, relating to extending the termination, and recommends that due pass and attaches a zero fiscal note. The report was signed by Adams, Chairman, signing due pass, Adams, Porchot, Davis, Gall, Swackhammer, Brown, Frank, and Boyer, having no recommendation, Rieger, Larson, and Wallace. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Having no amendments, Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the bill be engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage with the understanding that the bill will not be debated or voted upon today. If anybody has an amendment on Monday, there will be the courtesy, it's our intent that there'll be the courtesy votes to pass it back up to second reading and deal with the amendments on Monday. I move and ask unanimous consent that the bill be engrossed, advanced to third reading, placed on final passage.
Are there any objections to the advancement motion from second to third reading? Hearing no objection, would the clerk please read the title of that, Representative Cotton?
Evan, at ease, please.
Would the House please stand at ease? Will the House come back to order? Before the at ease, we had a motion before us, advancement motion from second to third reading. At the at ease, I'd ask the clerk to please read the title of that bill.
House Bill Number 4 by Davis, Ulmer, Kopanen, et al., an act relating to extending the termination date of the Alaska Women's Commission and providing for an effective date.
The bill is before us in third reading. Would the House please stand at ease? Before the at ease, the bill was advanced before us in third reading, and it is now under debate. Is there any debate? Ready for the question? Would the clerk please take the roll?
Adams?
Aye.
Barnes is excused. Boucher?
Aye.
Boyer?
Aye.
Brown?
Aye.
Cato?
Yes.
Collins?
Yes.
Cotton?
Yes.
Davidson?
Yes.
Davis?
Yes.
Donnelly?
Yes.
Ellis?
Aye.
Frank?
Yes.
Furness?
Yes.
Gall?
Yes.
Grunberg?
Yes.
Hanley is excused. Herman?
Yes.
Hoffman?
Yes.
Hudson?
Yes.
Kopanen? Larson excused. Martin?
No.
Menard and Miller are excused. Navarre?
Yes.
Pierce?
Yes.
Pettijohn?
No.
Phillips?
Yay.
Porchot?
Yes.
Rieger?
Yes.
Schultz?
Yes.
Springer is excused. Sund?
Yes.
Swackhammer?
Yes.
Taylor?
Yes.
Ulmer?
Yes.
Zawacki?
Yes.
Mr. Speaker?
Yes.
Yeas, 2 nays, and 7 excused.
Is there any member that cares to change his or her vote? Would the clerk read that total again?
31 yeas, 2 nays, 7 excused.
House Bill 4 has passed the House. Effective date. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm moving to ask unanimous consent that the roll call vote on the final passage be considered the roll call vote on the effective date clause.
Are there any objections? Hearing no objections, the effective date has also been adopted. Mr. Minority Leader, we have some citations. Is that Mr. Minority Leader?
I'll give notice later.
Okay. We have some citations yet to consider on today's calendar. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the House adopt the two citations on the calendar today, the first honoring Janice D. Holtz, second honoring Juno Students International Future Problem Solving Conference.
Are there any objections to the adoption of the citations on today's calendar? Representative Taylor.
Mr. Speaker, I don't wish to raise objection to it, but I would like to point out something to the body about one of the citations. And that is on these students that we're honoring today. This is the result of their efforts over a lengthy period of time and participation in an international contest. This costs us $67,000 a year to fund this program. It's now zeroed out. Most major school districts in this state spend more money than that just flying a basketball team around. This is participated in by 400 to 500 students statewide and gives an opportunity for some of our young people in Alaska to participate in an area other than athletics. And I think it's a real tribute to the people of Juneau and to the fine students who participated. It was just a short time ago that some students from Gamble went all the way through this competition and won first place in two divisions in international competition. I think it's something we really should be proud of, and I just wanted to raise a little extra attention to it. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
We're under unfinished business, Mr. Minority Leader.
Yes, I would give notice of reconsideration on House Bill 4, Mr. Speaker.
Notice of reconsideration has been given on House Bill 4. Unfinished business, Representative Kopanen.
Yes. We have a Senate concurrent resolution that was delivered to us too late for inclusion in the calendar, and would like to ask unanimous consent that the five-day rule be waived so that we can hear Senate concurrent resolution number one relating to Developmental Disabilities Awareness Month on Tuesday, March 3rd.
Are there any objections to waiving the concurrent resolution? Hearing no objections, the bill has been waived, or the five-day notice has been waived. Unfinished business, Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I do have some unfinished business, but before I would request that we go back to the introduction of guests.
Are there any objections? Hearing none.
I would like to introduce to the group a friend of mine in Gallery A, Ms. Janice Lionheart. And under unfinished business, Mr. Speaker, we have several requests for excused absences. First, Representative Kopanen from the afternoon, Thursday, March 26th, to plain time, Monday, March 30th. Representative Boucher, from 5 p.m., Thursday, March 26th, to plain time, Monday, March 30th. Representative Pettyjohn, to change his previously excused absence from commencing Monday, March 2, to commencing Tuesday, March 3 at plain time. I'm sorry, that's to return that day, so that his excused absence would be from February 27 until plain time Tuesday, March 3. And finally, Representative Furness, from after session Friday, February 27 to plain time Monday, March the 2nd.
Does anybody object to the members named by the Majority Leader to be excused from the call of the House? Hearing no objection, those members are excused. Any further unfinished business? Announcements of standing committees or special committees. Representative Sund.
Mr. Speaker, we have some bills carried over from yesterday to today, and I want to clarify what we're going to do so that people don't have to show up if they don't want to. 106 and 122... relating to the payment of criminal fines and restitution and the authority to compromise certain misdemeanors will be heard today, along with on the calendar, hopefully a definition of rural, and we'll get into taking testimony on House Bill 28, so municipal penalties for prostitution. House Bill 43 will not be heard today relating to return transportation of workers. And also for next week, we were scheduling some MICA hearings to get the MICA board and their staff in town on Thursday. Their actuary is in London that day, so we're going to hold it over till the 17th. It'll be March 17th, a Tuesday, and we're going to schedule an hour and a half in the morning, 8:30 to 10 and 1:30 to 3, to get the MICA, hopefully their council and actuaries and board members and that in here. For anybody who wants to participate to find out on the medical problems, we'll have them available for about 3 hours.
Representative Porchot.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The Joint House and Senate Finance Subcommittee on the DOT budget has had a little slippage on the schedule. Tomorrow we were scheduled to meet on the Southeast Region portion of the DOT budget. That will have to be postponed to a later date. We will, however, still be meeting tomorrow, 9 a.m., Senate Finance Committee room, and we will continue the budget considerations of statewide programs.
Any further committee announcements? Representative Donnelly.
Mr. Speaker, the House Labor and Commerce Committee will be hosting a statewide teleconference on House Bill 145 relating to local hire on natural resource projects on state lands.
on Thursday, March 5th at 2:30. Teleconference sites so far include Anchorage, Fairbanks, Kodiak, and Juneau. And if any member of the House would like their home districts included in the teleconference, please let my staff know as soon as possible so we can arrange that. Thank you.
Any further committee announcements? General announcements. Any general announcements? Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, in keeping with our tradition, we have a birthday on Saturday. Representative Gall. And we also have two half birthdays, Representatives Donley and Phillips.
Hey. Any further general announcements? Well, this brings us down to special orders. Representative Vollmer.
Mr. Speaker, I would ask permission of the body to speak on the subject of income taxes.
Are there any objections? Hearing none.
Mr. Speaker, today Governor Cooper has introduced a personal income tax bill. He indicated to us during his State of the State speech that he would do so and expressed his desire that this body seriously consider an income tax as one of several possible ways of raising additional revenues. I stand to speak to you today on the subject of the income tax because I feel that not only is it high time that we discuss it, but I think it's very important that each of us seriously consider it, in spite of the fact that it's a very painful subject. I have been speaking with not only constituents, but other members of this body about why I believe an income tax is appropriate for us to adopt at this time. And the three questions that I most usually hear from people are these. Why is the income tax preferable to other taxes? Why is instituting an income tax preferable to simply doing away with the permanent fund dividend? And why do we need to do it now? And I'd like to address those three questions this morning. Number one, why is a personal income tax preferable to other taxes? And I'd like to just, for example, this morning talk about the sales tax because it is the other general consumer tax which is being considered as something that might be a broad-based revenue-generating measure. Why is the income tax preferable to a sales tax? Well, of course, first of all, it's because it's fair. A sales tax is very regressive. An income tax is a progressive tax which is based on the ability to pay. Moreover, it generates more revenue than a sales tax does, about three times the amount, of course, depending upon what level you set it at. It's also deductible from the federal income tax. The way the federal income tax has been changed, a statewide sales tax would not be deductible, but a personal income tax still is, and so the federal government would, in essence, help to pay for it. And finally, we would be able to export a good deal of that tax to non-residents. According to the Department of Revenue, if the state of Alaska were to adopt a personal income tax, 25% of the revenues generated from that personal income tax would be paid by non-residents. So I think, just very briefly, if you stack it up against the sales tax, which incidentally I believe is the appropriate domain of the municipalities, and let's face it, the municipalities are going to have to raise some additional revenues to pick up the services that the state of Alaska will no longer be giving it revenues to pay for. I believe the personal income tax is preferable to the sales tax. Secondly, why is instituting a personal income tax preferable to simply eliminating the permanent fund dividend? We have heard some floor speeches on that subject. Why are we giving it out with the one hand and simply taking it back with the other hand? Well, I think that bears a good deal of scrutiny. The reasons for the permanent fund dividend should really be reviewed, and I think it's appropriate that we do so at this time. The permanent fund dividend was adopted in order to give a very small portion of oil wealth to all Alaskans. Most Alaskans get very unequal portions of that oil wealth, whether it's from loan subsidies or special programs in their districts. There are a lot of ways in which we all benefit from that oil revenue, but very unequally. And the permanent fund dividend is one very small way that every single person in the state of Alaska gets a small portion of that oil wealth. Moreover, the permanent fund dividend program was adopted to create a constituency for the wise management of the permanent fund itself. It's a lot harder to get the people of Alaska to agree to use the corpus of the permanent fund to build a Taj Mahal when they have a vested interest in the rate of return which is generated from those investments. And I believe that the permanent fund dividend, both today and in the future, is an important part of preserving the corpus of the permanent fund itself. And I believe both from the standpoint of the fairness, each and every one, and the future protection of the fund itself, maintaining the permanent fund dividend is important. Moreover, it has a more beneficial economic impact. Maintaining the permanent fund dividend has a more beneficial economic impact in our economy than would the imposition of a personal income tax damage it. And I think a very quick analysis will prove to even non-economists why that is so. Not only does the permanent fund dividend program put more money into Alaska's economy than a personal income tax would take out of it, it's how that money is distributed and who pays it and who gets it. The permanent fund dividend goes to everybody. Young, old, poor, rich, native, urban, everybody gets it. And that money, as has been demonstrated by the few economic research projects which have taken place on it, turns around in this economy more efficiently than any other spending program that the state of Alaska has ever devised. Whereas an income tax, because it is progressive and because it does tend to take the money from those who are more able to pay, tends not to be the money that is spent anyway. It tends to be the money that's invested in mutual funds in New York. It tends to be the money that people use to take a trip to Europe. It tends to be the money that maybe you sock away for your college education for your kids. None of those things being bad, the point simply being that that is not the money that turns around in the economy as efficiently as does the permanent fund dividend. So why keep the permanent fund dividend instead of just forgetting about a personal income tax? It's better for the economy, it's fairer, and it includes this notion of a constituency for the long-term wise management of the permanent fund. Now, the final question I get is, why now? Are we really ready for a personal income tax in the state of Alaska? Well, I think the deficit discussions that we have recently had on this floor remind us painfully of our reliance on oil and non-recurring revenues. And there is no example more critical than our appropriating the budget reserve account to the general fund, in my opinion, to remind us that we need recurring sources of revenue. We don't just need an infinite little series of pots of funds that we can continue to drain dry until we really are up against the wall. We today need to start coming up with recurring sources of revenue, like a personal income tax, that will be there over the long term. It will give the predictability and stability to this economy for both the public and private sector that is absolutely essential for the long-term health of our economy. It will never get easier, either economically or politically, to adopt an income tax than it is today. Next year is an election year, and we all know how we go run for cover during an election year on new taxes. The year after that, we're now 3 years away from this incredible deficit. It may be too late to start finding these recurring revenues, and I argue that the impact on the economy by then will be so devastated by our cuts in both operating and capital funds that there'll be far fewer of us on this floor around to debate this issue. We'll see a lot of new faces, because by then the shock on the economy will be so severe it will be much harder for us to recover as a state. Politically, perhaps as individual politicians, we should wait until there's a public outcry for it. I might notice that the AFL-CIO, when it met in Juneau the other day, listed the imposition of a personal income tax as its number one priority for this session. I would submit to you that the people out there know what we already suspect in our hearts, and that is recurring sources of revenue for the long term, like personal income taxes, are necessary now, not later. Finally, I would just like to say to you that most people realize that a free ride can't last forever. Every man, woman, and child in the state of Alaska gets $4,000 worth per capita of governmental expenditures that they're not paying for at the state level. Most responsible people admit that paying at least in part their own way is the politically, socially, and economically responsible thing to do. You've all heard of taxation without representation. Well, we have representation without taxation, and it has led to the absence of a link between what people expect their government to give them and what they're willing to pay. I would submit to you that by reforging that link, so that there's a tug at your pocketbook when new programs are produced, that we will have a more responsible state government. And I would urge each and every one of you to search your heart, to look at the revenue projections, and to join me in supporting Governor Cooper for the personal income tax now. Thank you.
Representative Phillips.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to have the privilege of the floor on just state income tax.
Any objections? Hearing none.
Mr. Speaker, I don't want to have this body to think that, or at least to my constituency, to think that state income tax is going to be reinstituted. I have thought this out long and hard. I don't think it's time at this particular time to reinstitute the state income tax, nor do my constituency feel that way. And I know all of you have gotten copies of my survey results as far as my constituents, how they feel about reinstitution of the income tax. And basically, what they're telling me is no to the state income tax, and that the state government's got to be more efficient and do a lot more with a lot less. And that's the message I'm getting. Until that happens, I'm not going to be voting for reinstitution of the income tax.
Representative Rieger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, could we revert to introduction of guests, please?
Are there any objections? If there are no objections, proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I noticed a friend walked into Gallery A, a constituent of Representative Pettijohn and myself, Jan Baumhoff.
Any further guests for introduction? Back down to special orders. Representative Taylor.
Yeah, I'd like to shift gears a bit, too, and have the privilege of the floor to speak on the BPW.
Are there any objections?
Seated in the gallery today and having been introduced to many of you are representatives from the Business and Professional Women's Association of Alaska. I would like to also make note of the fact that among this body there are at least two members of that organization. That's myself and Representative Furness from the Anchorage area, and we're very proud to be members of that organization. They come to Juneau every year on an annual fly-in, and they meet with us. And if there are any concerns among the body about the lengthy discussion, I'm not going to go into the question of income tax. We'd be here all day if we all wanted to talk about it. But these ladies and some of us gentlemen who belong to this organization as business people have some significant concerns about the topic. And while these ladies are in town, I'd like you to take the opportunity as they come around your offices to discuss income tax with them and hear what they have to say about it. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Any further special orders? Mr. Minority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like the privilege of the floor for the presentation of a memento.
Are there any objections? There should be. Any objections? Hearing no objections, proceed.
Mr. Speaker, I have here a drawing by a member of the legislative staff. For those of you that can spot it, it's a representation of our majority leader and his dog, Winston. And not just so Winston doesn't feel left out, we've also got something for him. In any event, Mr. Speaker.
Down boy. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you. I thank you, and Winston, thank you.
Any further special orders? Having no further special orders, Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the body stand in adjournment until 11 a.m. Monday.
11 a.m. Monday.